songbooks at number 269. That will be our invitation song.
I bid you all good morning. Got a good number out with us here today. We're glad that you're here, and I appreciate so much your interest in spiritual things. It has you to be out with God's people here today. We have visitors among us, and we want you to feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God. The Hebrew writer one time said in his book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken. That God has weighed in on the affairs of men and told us exactly what his will is. Matter of fact, Paul one time in Ephesians 5:17 said, "Be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord." And so this morning, as I bring forth my lesson, I hope you appreciate the fact that I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything that I preach and teach here today. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 5. I appreciate so much the good reading that Brother Nell had for us a few months ago from Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 15. You know, there's a lot of lessons that's been preached in regards to the people that surrounded the cross when Jesus was crucified. Many times preachers will compare ourselves to them. They make pretty good lessons. There is Peter, who boldly declared he'd never deny the Lord, only deny him three times before the dawn of the next day. Then there is Pilate, that succumbs to the will of the majority rather than standing up for what is right. There is Judas, the one that betrays the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, showing that his Lord was in his pocket rather than in his heart. Then there are the people that just simply watched him there, not wishing to take a side, neither hot nor cold. That's a good lesson, by the way. And I want you to appreciate that all of us could think about those different people and compare ourselves to them at different times of our life. There are those similarities. But there's another character that I would like to talk to us about for just a few short moments here this morning, and his name is Barabbas. Barabbas is a character that surrounds a cross that I believe that there are some very eerie similarities in regards to him and ourselves. Many times he is the one that is the most hated of all the characters around. This murderer, this one who's insurrection, who gets off scot-free so that the Savior can die. What I'd like to do here for just a few short moments here this morning is again show us how it is that many times we are very, very similar to this character that we simply know as Barabbas. The first thing I want you to appreciate is the world chose him over Jesus. And as we are a type of Jesus here in this occasion and he of the world, I want you to appreciate the fact that so it is with us, that the world will always choose their own over those who wish to serve Jesus. In Matthew 27:21, the governor answered and said to them, "Whither the two will you I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Now here it is once again, the choice. Here is a murderer, one who has been leading an insurrection. And then here is Jesus, who never done one sin. And as the world contemplated that, as the world laid it down into the balance of scales and began to skitter who to choose, they chose Barabbas. And as I'm talking to you here this morning, you're contemplating becoming a child of God, or you're a child of God right now, and you become discouraged the way it is that you're treated in the world. I want you to appreciate and understand this choice, that the world will always choose its own over those who are Jesus. And Jesus said, if the world hate you, I want you to know they hated me before they hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. I want you to appreciate it. We just consider here this morning this character. The world chose Barabbas over Jesus. But also, I want you to see this similarity between you and me and Barabbas, and that is that he deserved to die. There's no doubt about that. You read that, you contemplate that, you think about this individual. Here was one who deserved the punishment that was meet for him. In Mark 15 and verse 7, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, and who had committed murder in that insurrection. Insurrection under the Roman Empire was a capital offense. We just read in the book of Acts chapter 19, the uproar in Ephesus. And one of the problems was that was an unlawful assembly. It looked like a riot. It looked like a mob. And you may recall in our Bible study this morning, we talked about that, how that the treasurer of the city came out and said, hey, we're going to be asked about here about this morning. We could lose our liberties because of this. This man had committed an insurrection, and not only had he caused this insurrection, but during that he had killed somebody. This was a man who deserved to die. And before you get too heated, before you get too hot, before you lay too much blame at Barabbas, I want you to understand this very eerie similarity. I read in the book of Romans 3, verse 23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Visitors here, mother's members here, that I don't know real well. I don't know all your likes. I don't know all your desires. I don't know all your preconceived ideas. I don't know what it is that we have in common. But one thing I do for sure know we have in common is that we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6 and verse 23, I read, the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. Barabbas deserved to die. Those of us who have sinned, the consequences of that is death. That's an eerie similarity. And I want you to appreciate that far too many times we don't think about the consequences of our insurrection against God, our own will, our own selfish ambitions, in contradiction to what our God and Creator has told us we must do or forbidden to do. This man deserved to die, and I want you to appreciate, so do we. He was released because Jesus was delivered. In Mark 15 and verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas, but delivered Jesus to be crucified. This man was released because Jesus was delivered. Isn't that interesting? This man who created insurrection, who had murdered, was released, all because Jesus was delivered. But in Colossians 1 and verse 13, I want you to hear this, what Paul has to say about people just like you and me. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. You and I have been released from our sins. We have been purchased back from the slavery that we ourselves have cast ourselves into because Jesus was delivered for you. Jesus died that I might be delivered. But also, I want you to see this. This man was found guiltless in the eyes of the law because Jesus was found guilty. In Luke 23 and verse 24, and Pilate gave sentence as they had required. He released unto them him that for sedition and murder had been put into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. This man, in the eyes of the law, was found innocent. Go on your way. This man was declared not guilty because Jesus was found guilty. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Again, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, much more than, verse 9, being now justified, that is, being acquitted. That's the idea. As one who is acquitted in a court of law, one who is justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath through him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand here this morning that you have been found not guilty because Jesus was found guilty. But also, this man was set free because Jesus had to die. And they cried out at all once, saying, Away with this man, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Again in John 19 and verse 15, but they cried out, Away with this man, away with this man. Literally, that's the idea. Away from the earth with this man, kill this man, take this man out and kill him. Pilate said, Shall I crucify your king? The chief said, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus right in the middle. This man was set free because Jesus died. How is that similar to me, one asks? Well, Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ, who has made us free. We have bound ourselves and sold ourselves in bondage unto sin, and because we've done that, the consequences is of death. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, Whosoever sinned is a slave of sin. But because Jesus died, I have been made free from my sin. Paul said, What? Don't you know? To him you sell, you yield yourselves servants to obey, him servants you are to whom you obey, whether it's sin unto death or righteousness or obedience unto righteousness. I want you to appreciate that this man was set free because Jesus died. Well, I might as well call you Barabbas, because so were you, set free because Jesus died. I want you to see this. Jesus died in his place, irrespective of the response of Barabbas. In Luke 23 and verse 25, and he released unto him, that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And then that's it. Barabbas walks off stage. What did Barabbas do? Did Barabbas turn over a new leaf? Did Barabbas become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Why ain't I told about that? There's a famous scene in a movie called Saving Private Ryan. And in that movie, Captain Miller says to Private Ryan in his dying breath, Earn this. Earn this. What did Barabbas do with this chance? Ever wondered? We don't know. Doesn't he owe Jesus something? The reason why we're not told, ladies and gentlemen, is because Jesus was going to die for him irrespective of his response. You see, it didn't really matter what Barabbas did with this opportunity. Jesus was going to die. And what I want you to appreciate here this morning, so it is with our Savior. In the book of 1 John, in chapter 2 and verse 2, John there says, And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the entire world. You see, Jesus Christ died for the world. He died for everybody. And he died for everybody, irrespective of what their response was going to be. That death makes almost a little sense when you understand what it was that he could pay if he knew that everybody was going to respond. Everyone was going to repent, that everybody was going to take that second chance and do something wonderful with it. And what I want you to appreciate here this morning, that Jesus has laid the same type of choice before you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the propitiation for the sins of the world. That is, he is the atoning sacrifice, the appeasement for sin. For who? For everybody. But it's up to you to take advantage of it. He becomes your substitution truly when you're obedient unto him. Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Until you make the story of Jesus Christ a personal one, you don't understand the story of Jesus. The love of Christ, Paul said, constrains us. Because we judge that if one died for all, that everybody was dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, rose again. I'd like to thank Barabbas. Turned over that new leaf. But irrespective, Jesus died. And finally, I want you to see this. Something in his name. Barabbas. Barabbas is made up of two words. Bar, meaning son of. Like, son of Bar-Jonah. Bar, meaning son of. So I thought that was his middle name. No. Simon Bar-Jonah. That just simply means Simon, son of Jonah. Ander, son of Ander. He is just son. Yeah, the other part of that word is Abba. Bar-Abba. Meaning literally daddy in the Aramaic. Son of daddy. Son of the Father. He is just a son of a father. No legacy, no human form, and so it is with us as we are sons of the Father. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 2, behold what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Not of any human agency, but from the spiritual seed that God has implanted. By his own will has he begotten us again by his own word. The word of God, which is proclaimed from this pulpit, who falls upon good and honest hearts who are willing to accept it and obey it. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you've purified your souls by being obedient to the truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 6, and because we are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You too can become a son of the Father. You too this morning can become a child of God. Hearing the word. Believing the word. And being obedient unto the word. As I consider all the characters around the cross, one of them that I've never heard a sermon on before was Barabbas. So I sat down to write one. And I thought there's some eerie similarities. The world chose him over Jesus. He deserved to die. So do we. He was released because Jesus was delivered. He was guilty because Jesus was found guilty. He was set free because Jesus died. Jesus died for him irrespective of response. And even the name is eerie. Son of the Father. You can be that here this morning. And I want you to appreciate that what Jesus did for each and every one of us demands a response. Demands a response. I don't ever hear anybody calling Barabbas on the carpet, but someone should have. What's your response? Come back from gospel meetings, folks would ask me, did anybody respond? The answer always was, yep, everybody. Because everybody always responds at the preaching of the gospel. Some ignore it, fad, some change, some don't. But there is always a response. What's your response this morning? And what if I was to call you? And that man. Fixed on the Lord's invitation to you this morning, have you not been obedient to the words when he said, go into the world and preach this good news? He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes it not will be condemned. 9 times in the book of Acts, the gospel is preached. All 9 times, people believe it. They repent of their sin. They confess their faith in Jesus Christ, as we see in Acts chapter 8, 36 and 37. And they are baptized for the remission of their sins. And they fall away rejoicing, knowing son, a daughter of the Father. Send the Lord's invitation to you. We sing this song to encourage you. So if it's up to him anyway, come forward now. We stand and sing.
What can wash away?